The Narrow Gate, Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. Understanding the Only Way to Salvation. Introduction. As Jesus made his way through the cities and villages, teaching and preparing for his journey to Jerusalem, someone asked him a profound question. Lord, are there few who are saved? This question speaks to the heart of humanity's desire to understand salvation and eternity. But rather than giving a numerical answer, Jesus shifts the focus from curiosity to accountability. He tells them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate." This passage calls us to examine our own walk with God. As a child of God, it powerfully reminds us that salvation is not about proximity to Jesus or religious routine. It's about obedience, being born again, and having the Holy Spirit. Let's take a deeper look. Number 1. The narrow gate is Jesus alone. Jesus uses the illustration of a narrow gate to show that there is only one way into the kingdom of God. Unlike a mall that can be accessed by multiple highways or backroads, heaven has one route, and that route is Jesus. Jesus affirms this in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other Savior, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not any religious leader or ideology. The only way into the kingdom is through Jesus Christ. Number 2. Focus on your own salvation. The man in the crowd asked, "Will few be saved?" But Jesus responded with, "Strive to enter in at the narrow gate." In other words, don't worry about how many, make sure you are saved. This aligns with Romans chapter 1 verse 20, which tells us that every person will be without excuse. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 also urges us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't rely on someone else's salvation or spirituality. The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25 illustrates this. The 5 foolish virgins tried to borrow oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, from the wise ones. But you can't borrow someone else's relationship with God. You need your own experience of Acts 2 and 38 salvation, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Spirit. Number 3. Once the door is shut, it's too late. In verse 25, Jesus gives a sobering picture. Once the master of the house rises and shuts the door, it will be too late to enter. Think of someone with a plane ticket who shows up to the gate after it's closed. They had everything they needed, except urgency. The opportunity was real, but they were too late. When Jesus says, "I do not know you, where you are from," he is showing that these people do not have his Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 tells us, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." Number 4. Church attendance isn't enough. Many will say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." This represents those who were around Jesus, who even heard his teachings, but didn't obey or receive his Spirit. Today, this applies to those who attend church, clap their hands, sing the songs, and enjoy the worship, but never truly repent, never get baptized in Jesus' name, and never receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus responds, "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." That's because mere religious activity without obedience and transformation is still sin. Number 5. Weeping and gnashing. The reality of hell. Jesus describes a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth in Luke chapter 13, verse 28. This is not symbolic. It's a direct reference to hell. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus tells of a man at a wedding without the proper garment who is cast into outer darkness. The garment represents righteousness, specifically being clothed with Christ through baptism. As Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Only those who are Spirit-filled and walking in holiness will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Number 6. Many religious people will be cast out. In the final verses 29 and 30, Jesus speaks of many coming from the east and west, those we least expect, entering the kingdom, while others who seemed religious are cast out. Outward religion, appearance, or tradition will not save you. It is those who are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and walking in holiness and obedience who will be welcomed in. As Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Conclusion. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30 is a call to sobriety, urgency, and personal accountability. Salvation is not about being near the truth, it's about obeying the truth. There is only one way, Jesus Christ. This narrow gate cannot be entered casually or half-heartedly. It demands striving. It demands a new birth. It demands the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're not just in the crowd, but in the kingdom. Let your salvation be rooted in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Walk through the narrow gate while it's still open.